Thanks, Pastor Dennis. And as he mentioned, today we're talking about, we're focusing on Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, about our thought life. And the question today is, who do you admire? And why do you admire that person? What are your thoughts about that person? Well, let me tell you, it's just fitting today. We're going to be doing some testimonies that come from people. We're going to focus initially people that are with the El Calvario congregation, with whom we are working, laboring to make our two ministries really one in many, many ways. And one of the people I really admire is Ivan Zelada. And his last name is spelled Z-E-L-A-D-A, Ivan Zelada. He's going to tell us a little bit about himself, but I will tell you this. He and his wife have been hosts to our elders' Christmas dinners, elders and spouses, and a few other leaders from this ministry, and they've hosted us in their homes, And we've been out to dinner. My wife and I have been out to dinner with them. We enjoy being with them. They're a very bright, vivacious couple. Ivan is a chemist, works for the gas company. They have three children, and Ivan has the, in addition to being an elder with El Calvario, he's also serving on the Unity Task Force in the noteworthy position of taking notes. And he's a wonderful secretary. Come on up, Ivan. And I've asked him to just share about his spiritual journey, how the Lord's gotten his attention, and how he is the person that he is that so many of us really admire.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction, Pastor John. Appreciate that. As Pastor John said, my name is Ivan Zelada. Have my wife who attends El Calvario, and my kids, three kids. I'm an engineer. Been an engineer for a while. I'm a chemical engineer, and Pastor John asked me to share my testimony, so I haven't shared it too many times, but it is kind of a testimony of giving. I grew up as a Catholic in Peru, where I'm from, and I went to Catholic school for many, many years, and I did all of the things that you do as a Catholic, which are a lot, all the traditions, in other words. Anyways. But the relationship with the Lord that I should have had wasn't there. Then I went on to college here in the U.S. And as I was taking classes and learning about science, I distanced myself even more from the Lord. I was becoming a non-believer at that point. And I was trying to justify everything through science instead of accepting our Lord, right, and his power in our lives. And so I went like that for many years. But I got married, and I was still in school. I was still in college. So things are tough, right, when you're in school already. When you're married, they're double hard, right? And so we were struggling, my wife and I. And my wife asked me to take her to her church. At that time, I was living in the city of Downey. And the church that she wanted to go, it was a new church, but it was a denomination that she used to go in Mexico because her mom was a Christian. And so the church that she was asking me to take her was in L.A. And for me, being in college, it was expensive to go to L.A., drop her off, and then back to Downey, and then a few hours later, go back and pick her up and return, right? So I started going to her church, and I would stay in my truck. So I would just sit out. They didn't want to go in. Soon I got tired of that, right? I guess after a month, I didn't want to be sitting out in the truck anymore. So I started coming in. And I said, well, I'm going to sit with everybody else at the church. And I started to do that. And I would start to hear this pastor talking about God and everything. And I started to believe again. I mean, I grew up as a Christian, even though I was Catholic. But I had that knowledge of the Lord. But there was one thing that I had a big difficulty with, and that was the time of the offering and tithing. And I thought that all that money was going to a pastor. And I didn't want to be another fool, because that was my thought, that these people giving were fools. They were giving their tithe. And this place in LA was very humble. The people that were going there, many of them were probably struggling just like myself, but yet they were giving. And so I didn't want to do that. And that was my hardest thing to overcome. So I remember one time that stuck in my head, and I started researching about tithing. And I wanted to prove that wasn't required, that wasn't needed, tithing or giving. And I started looking into the websites. And the websites, of course, refer me to the Bible. And I got into Malachi. Malachi 3:7-12, right? I can read you a passage of that. I think I have it here. And it says, number 7. So Malachi 3:7. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So when I read that, I started thinking about it, and I read the rest, right, of what it says, and I believed that was something that we needed to do. And when I started putting in my offering, my tithe, all these other questions that I had about church, our Lord, and my relationship with God kind of started to go away. So I was blessed for that reason. But then soon later, months later, I graduated from college, and I was looking for a job, and I couldn't find a job, and I was applying here and there, and I couldn't find a job. There was one job that I really wanted to get, and I got a few interviews to go in there. I thought I had it. It was for Frito-Lay, working in Rancho Cucamonga. I was living in Downey, and I thought, yeah, I can do the drive. Turns out I didn't get it at the end. After going to 3 interviews, I didn't get it. That next week, I got a call for another application that I had put in, which was for the gas company. And I got a quick interview. The other place, I had 3 interviews. They were pretty lengthy. On this one, I think it was 5 minutes. I for sure thought I didn't have that job, right? Because I thought they were not interested in me. It was so quick. But they called me, and it's the same place where I'm working at now. And I've been there for 20 years. I'm one of the few that has had the same cubicle since the day I began, same desk, right? The same spot. I can go into that place all dark with my eyes closed, and I can find it right there. So for 20 years, I've been working there. And then I saw the proof of the rest of Malachi 3, of that section, right? That says in here, I'm going to read number 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be no room, there will not be room enough to receive it. And that I really saw in my life. And so then I saw proof that the word of God was real. I saw it in my own life. I got this job 5 minutes away from where I was living. I could go home to have lunch and come back. Pay was good. The people I worked with were really, really nice. And since, I keep on seeing that blessing that the Lord has for us. I've been promoted many times. Many of the times, to be honest, I didn't feel like I did anything special to get it. I saw many others that were much more talented, had been doing the job for longer than I had. And but I see the blessing of the Lord still now in my life all the time, actually. I'm thankful for that. So that was my my hurdle. Like I said, it was giving initially, but through giving I discovered the Lord. When I finally put that in his hands, I saw what he has for us. So that's part of my testimony. Like Pastor John mentioned, I've been helping out here at church. I also help out with our kids as a teacher. And maybe that's another thing that the Lord had prepared for me, right? When I got into the gas company, soon after, they asked me to volunteer as a teacher for a program that we have with a local school in Pico Rivera. And so I've been doing that for many years. And that's how I started working with kids. And kids are normally, the ones that I work with are, or the classes that we have are usually for the third, fourth, and fifth graders. And I got used to working with them, and I've been doing that for many years, like I said. And here in at the church, I found a place where I can use that skill as well. And another thing that I wanted to share is, some of you guys may know Brother Willie. And he got me involved into working here at the church. One day we were here and we were trying to take out some trash because it was piled on the corner here. And he said, "There's no way that the house of the Lord can be looking like this." And that stuck with me because at the time my parents they live in Downey also, and my father is 80 years old, 81 this year. My mom's 70, and because they're elderly, they cannot fix their house much. And I was doing work for them, so I was trying to help them out in their yard, and I was putting a lot of effort and time into that. And what Willie said was something that stuck with me. How is it that we can see the house of our Father in heaven, right, and not do anything, and I have time to do it, and I have the strength to do it. So I started volunteering, and since then he got me suckered into working in the roof. Huh? So it's been good, but it's been really good. So, anyways, that's my testimony. Thank you, Pastor John, for the opportunity, and appreciate it.
Have a good one. Thank you.
There are so many things about Ivan and Veronica and their family that I really deeply admire. And one of the reasons why we're doing all of this is so that we understand what God is putting together in this place, and we're all a work of God's grace. And the very fact that he corrected me on that issue, he's not a chemist, he's a chemical engineer. And I'll tell you, that's one of the great values that he brings to us, not because we needed a chemical engineer, but he has wonderful engineering skills, and he's not just the teacher with the children's ministry, but he's leading the children's ministry here as well. And thanks. I just so deeply admire what God is doing in our lives together and because of our new friends and relationships that are developing. So, once again, who is it that you admire? And who do you admire even from this ministry? Our church, our congregations, who is it that you admire? Because, not because we want to put them up on a pedestal, but because this is literally God's work of grace. Now, Dennis said we were going to be talking about this today, and I'm just going to read this from God's Word. We're in this paragraph, a couple paragraphs in Philippians chapter 4. This is what Paul says. Rejoice in the Lord occasionally. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to everyone, to all. The Lord is near. What's that mean? The Lord is near. Well, let's go on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding, even in the midst of all the fear that we, and we were singing about this today, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, think about these things. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or have seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you all. So today we're going to talk about, when I saw this word admirable, whatever is admirable, it's not something a word that I normally use. Now, I might say I admire somebody, but the word admirable, whatever is admirable, I wondered. I want to stick with that word for today. So I looked at a number of different notions as to what is admirable. And it's just basically breaking this word down. Once again, this word is a combination of two Greek words. And those two Greek words are the words well. The first part of it, it would be translated well or good. And the second part of this one word has to do with a saying, a good saying or well said about whatever it is that you're thinking about. In other words, now people are listening, God is listening. All along, we're doing some thinking. So are our thoughts, as we think about new friends, as we think about the people we work with, as we think about God, as we think about the circumstances of our life and the situations that we are sometimes stuck in, like 2020, as Dennis mentioned. So we're eager to get through this. What are our thoughts? Do we have anything good to say or think? Really, do we have anything good words running through our minds about 2020 or about the place we live in, where we live, or the job that we have, or the family that we have, or the general circumstances of life? What are we thinking? Are they good thoughts? Are they admirable thoughts about God, about people, and about situations? Well, we've kind of said this way. Now, our brains are going all the time, from the time we get up. Sometimes, you know, until you have your coffee, your brain might be a little bit sluggish, but it may be at night, as you're getting tired and ready to go to bed, maybe your brain is a little bit fuzzy. But either way, we're thinking all the time. And are we organizing our thoughts at all times around that which is admirable? Or in terms of our thinking process, as if we were taking those thoughts and presenting them, would they be a good report? Or as the good repute, as one translation calls it. And I like this little qualification. Are these thoughts that we are thinking, are they fit for God's ears? Are those thoughts that we're thinking fit for his presence. Now, these good thoughts, I want to just need to clarify with this. This is not that we're there to be flattering thoughts. I really hope I was not flattering Ivan. You know, in other words, flattering thoughts might be saying words that to other people or saying words to God that we think might make those people think well of us. That we might, flattery in Proverbs, it says that flattery is like a hook. And so be very careful if somebody is flattering you. Could be somebody of the opposite sex. Could be someone of the same sex. It might be flattering you in order to gain an advantage over you. Flattery is not a good thing. It is never a good thing. It's considered to be evil. We're not talking about flattery before God, thinking, I'm going to say with a very ethereal voice, God, you are worthy. If I think I'm pulling anything over on him when I say, God, I love you, God knows. The thoughts that we have are to be honest, but praiseworthy thoughts about friends and family, acquaintances, neighbors, people we do business with. They are to be praiseworthy thoughts. So what do we do if some of the transactions we've had with those people have been, we felt like we've been used? How do I have praiseworthy thoughts about them then? How about if there's been somebody in my family that has, we've kind of just been crossways with each other. Seems like maybe all the time or over the maybe decades of our relationship. How do we change to having praiseworthy thoughts about them? In your notes, there's a statement that in the midst of them, and it says, we need to organize our thoughts around whatever is admirable. We're to organize our thoughts around whatever is praiseworthy. Organize our thoughts around as if we were writing a report and we're thinking about, what do I put in this report? About God, about my family, about my friends. What do I put in that report that is so admirable or praiseworthy? Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at just a few scriptures, but I want you to turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I love this little psalm. Matter of fact, I love it so much I was thinking that maybe I gave this, asked Aaron to read this psalm today, and then he started out with Psalm 103. But that was the second time. That would have been the third time I would have changed my mind with Aaron. So listen to these words, just five verses in Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Now that's only five verses, but man, that's a lot. That is so much. As we think about God, as we think about God at the beginning of our day, we're lying in our bed, our feet haven't hit the floor yet. Somebody really put the challenge before me. And I repeatedly say before my feet hit the floor, okay, I'm about ready to enter the day. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. Imagine just coming into God's court saying, oh, not another Monday. Oh, I hate, you know, or finally, Lord, it's Friday. You know, no. I will enter his courts. I'm in his presence. I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart, and his courts with praise. I'm just thinking. I don't wake my wife up by saying, okay, we're entering God's court with thanksgiving. No, I'm thinking. Enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart, and his courts with praise. I'll say in the quietness of my heart and my thought process, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He's undergirded me with things of which to be glad. 2 Samuel, turn back closer to the beginning of the Bible. 2 Samuel, one of the history books, such an amazing, amazing account of the kings, King David especially, Saul and King David. But I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. David sang to the Lord. It came from his mind, his thought process, out to his lips. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of King Saul. He said, the Lord is my... Just think of these things. These are word pictures that he has of God. These are words of admiration and praise. They're praiseworthy words. The Lord is my rock, underline it or circle it. My fortress, circle it. My deliverer, circle it. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, circle it. All these praiseworthy things about him. My shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. All these words to circle. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise. He is praiseworthy. And I am saved from my enemies. What are your deep thoughts? What are your praiseworthy thoughts about God? Okay, so let's try this out. I want you to think about this seriously. So we're going through our day. We're doing business. We have breakdowns. We have just things that don't work for us. We're wondering about what we're going to do this next week or later in the day. Our minds are just they're just all over the place. And now you go to pray. You know, I was sharing with a young man this past week about how we enter into prayer. And I suggested that when we pray, we should pray the ACTS model. You know, many of you already know this, but it's A-C-T-S. Like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. You start out with adoration or praise. And then there's confession, C. T is thanksgiving. And lastly, we get to the prayer request, the supplication. A-C-T-S. I've known this, I've taught this over and over and over and over again. And sometimes if somebody says, let's pray, I feel this obligation. I've got to enter his gates with thanksgiving. I've got to his courts with praise. What do I say to God as I begin? Now, not because God is going, he's got a notepad out and he's saying, okay, what are you going to say now? No, but as you enter my courts, what are you thinking about? Who are you talking to? Are you talking to a God who, might you say, Lord, you're my refuge and my strength. Lord, you are my joy. You're my salvation. You're my rock. Lord, you are holy and you are just. You know, I get a chance to pray with a lot of people and a lot of spiritual leaders, and it's just moving to me. We all have the rhythm of how we pray. But it's really a neat thing to be drawn into prayer and have the person that is, it's his turn to pray. It's her turn to pray. Okay. Joe, would you lead us in prayer? And Joe begins. And he begins talking about the power of God and the righteousness of God and the loving kindness of God. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his presence with praise. What are your thoughts like with regard to God? See, it all our thoughts about God, are they praiseworthy thoughts? Now, sometimes the Psalms expose a lot of emotions. And sometimes the psalmist used to say, "How long, O Lord? Are we going to have to go through this? How long till this pandemic is behind us?" Well, they didn't say that then, but they were dealing with plagues of their own at that time. "How long will my enemy prosper over me? How long, O Lord?" Psalm 73 is one of those psalms, and it's just it's amazing. But by the end of Psalm 73, the psalmist once again goes back to, "I will yet praise you, Lord, for this is who you are." This is who you are. Our thoughts with regard to who God is need to be praiseworthy. Now let's remember, we're talking to him as well about people. We're talking to him about the circumstances of life. So what thoughts do you have about praiseworthy people, even people that sometimes you're a little bit crossways with? What is it, you know, this again, the word is, what do you admire about that person? Now, maybe that person is a know-it-all. What is it that you admire about that person? I don't know what it is. Maybe for you it is, I need to organize my thoughts about this person. And, you know, I admire his persistence. I admire his sincere love for his family. And I do admire, Lord, his love for you. I admire his pursuit. What I heard, I know I've heard testimony from Ivan before, but I'm so glad he shared this chapter of his life that was so significant, as God did something, and I hope you can translate this into your own personal life, as God shattered for him a barrier that was keeping him from paying attention to God. So maybe you were sitting here thinking, and at home thinking, I admire the fact that he challenged me. And I've had my own barriers to deal with that have kept me away from God. What were they? And you know, listening to his testimony makes me think about this person over here that I care about, but he's just struggling with his relationship to God. And he's struggling with being obedient. He's struggling. He's got blind spots that keep him from actually surrendering to God. Surrendering. Well, what do you admire about this person? What do you know about their testimony? You know, I mentioned in my opening paragraph in the notes, I talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died a week ago last Friday. And she was, one of her best friends in life was Justice Antonin Scalia, both of them on the Supreme Court of the United States. Both of them far apart on almost every issue, but they were like best friends. Their family, the couples, husband and wives, they did stuff all the time together. They loved some of the same really important things, and they admired each other. When asked, "What is it you admire about Antonin so much?" she said, "Well, he makes me laugh." So, I mean, they were worlds apart in terms of how they interpret many, many legal issues. So who brings joy to your life? Who brings encouragement? Who coaches you? Who Whose counsel do you seek? Whose presence do you enjoy? In whose presence do you take courage? Who of the people in your life, what people give you hope, even though you might be very, very different in many, many, many ways? It's a good question to ask yourself. What people do I admire who are really different than I am? Different almost to the point of, I keep thinking they're always wrong because they're just so different. What admirable thoughts do you have about situations? We are facing a situation, aren't we? How do we handle this pandemic? We are facing a situation. We have an election ahead of us. We are facing a situation where the people we hear all the time, whether you're on the left or the right or you're independent, whatever, where the people around you, you could easily say, these people are losers. They're idiots. These people on the other side. What situations do you face? And you stop and you think, well, what is praiseworthy even about this situation that we're going through? You know, as the prophets would look back, as they would look back in history and they would see, you know, I kept on telling everybody, I kept on telling all of the people in Israel, all the people in Judah. Now, trust God. Don't trust that nation out there. Trust God. Don't try to make an alliance with them. Trust God. He's telling you, trust me. Don't trust the nations around you. Nations rise and nations fall, but my kingdom remains, and I remain on the throne. So, what's so good about this situation? Maybe, whatever the situation is, it will turn your heart, my heart, our nation, our families to God in terms of trusting Him. Well, the second point, I'm just going to move right along here. We are to organize, or check our thoughts to make sure that they are praiseworthy for God to hear. They're worthy for God to hear, because the next point is God is present and God is listening and He hears all those thoughts. Do you believe that? He hears all those thoughts of troubled thoughts. I think of, this goes back right to the very first book of the Bible. God says to Abraham, Abraham, I know you're old, but and I know your wife's old, but she's going to have a baby. And she laughs in her tent. And God says, you know, I heard you laugh. I heard you. Jesus was confronted by the scribes and Pharisees. And they're saying, they're crossing their arms, and they are thinking to themselves. It's a private moment. They're thinking, his disciples don't wash their hands the proper ceremonial way. They're eating. Oh, what kind of rabbi is this? They're thinking this. And Jesus said, I know what you're thinking. See, God knows what you're thinking. He knows where your doubts are. He knows where your fears are. You can say, well, Lord, I'm trusting you for the future, whatever it is. And he's saying, really? That's not what I just heard this morning. That's not what I heard last night. That's not what I heard in the middle of the night. God is present, and he's listening. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, we all just come back to this over and over again. I hope you're trying to memorize maybe six verses. The first six verses of Psalm 139 would be a great place to start if you want to memorize something and just work over it and over it and over it until it starts to just really get your attention. But the psalmist David says, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar, and you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there's a word on my tongue, verse 4, even before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. He knows our thoughts. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. If you're right, taking notes, Hebrews 4:13. says in Hebrews 4:13, in verse 12, the author to Hebrews talks about how God's word is like the standard. It is the standard, and it judges the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Verse 13 says that all things, everything about us, is open and laid bare before him to whom we must give an account. So we got to give an account, and he knows what we're thinking, and he judges us, you know, like we hear about the Constitution now, and the newest judge appointed, at least at this point, appointed, we'll go through the, she's a constructionist. She's the words of the Constitution are critically important. She would say, and she is on record saying, it's not our job to create new laws. That's the job of the legislature. But we are here to, what does the Constitution says? And now we apply these circumstances to that. It's a conservative approach, conservative in terms of the words matter. We are an association of churches that say the word of God matters. And so what it says, its words, its very words and its principles are for our everyday lives. God says, I'm going to stand your behavior, your thoughts, up against my word. I know what you're thinking. Okay, so organize your thoughts around what? My word. Always put your thoughts to the test of God's word, which is very, very, very clear. I've got some other, as you think about other people, are there people in your lives that become a standard? They sometimes are, they check you because they're listening to your words. Praise God for trusted people in your lives. We've got four kids, and they listen even yet to the things that we say, and they hold us accountable for those things, and they know what's behind those thoughts. And I'm so thankful, and they're even teaching their kids to do that. So I get no break on sloppy thinking. I don't, and that's a good thing. We organize, we check our thoughts to make sure they're praiseworthy, that they're admirable, that they give a good, our thoughts give a good report, because God is present and he's listening, and because God understands. He understands our thoughts from afar. He judges our thoughts according to his word, Hebrews 4, verse 12. He understands. And he knows the things that I've grown up with and the things that have impacted my life and yours. And that's why we process things sometimes well and sometimes not so well. He understands. We might want to say, well, God, give me a break. You know, cut me some slack. Because, you know, life has been kind of tough for me. I've been dealt some bad cards. And God would say, I understand. I understand. Now, I want you to back up. I shared this with somebody this week, this expression. I want you to back up and squint. I had a friend, Ivan, he was also a chemical engineer for 3M Corporation. And his name was John. And John said to me many decades ago, he said, we apply this scientific principle, this very scientific principle, when we're stuck with a problem we don't seem to know how to resolve. We encourage each other to back up and squint. You know how sometimes when you're looking, your eyes feel like you can't quite see that road sign? What do? Or that, we squint, we do. It's like, well, maybe that will just help me block out everything else and I'll be able to see that more clearly. Back up and squint. And God would say, okay, I understand what you're saying. Your life has been tough, okay. I understand the family. I understand the job situation. I understand the neighborhood. But I want you to back up and squint and see what I, and I want you to, you need to think about this differently. You need to think in terms of praiseworthy things. So what will you, what are you thinking about 2020 right now? Good or bad? What about the laws and restrictions? What about the conspiracies? I don't know what God would say. You know, maybe you would like to back up and squint and look at this situation now. And clearly in 2021, you look back and you can say, you'll be able to see so much more clearly. Back up and squint. Get the picture that God has. Finally, organize your thoughts around this. Organize your thoughts around this. God is for you, not against you. You believe that? That he's for you? He is really for you, not against you. Turn, please, to, oh, man, just turn to Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to just look into two portions of Scripture here. And this drives the point home for me. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and following. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose, for those who for God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among all creations. And he predestined, he also called, and those he called, he also justified, and those he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He is for us. Just turn back a page to chapter 5. You'll see, this is verse 6, chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Do you think he's for you? He's for us, not against us. Now, I may be slow to the draw, but this past week on Monday, God really just put something in front of me and challenged my thought process. It was on Monday. I was watching as it turns out, it was a YouTube video, and it was part of another website, but it put me into this. I was listening to this singer, and then afterwards, it gave about a number of choices, and one of them was the Irish blessing. Three, now I want you to write this down, the Irish blessing, because I want you to look this up on YouTube. The Irish blessing dash 300 voices. And they come from these are from churches in every county of Ireland. And we'd been around Ireland, so I felt like, oh man, this is going to be really cool. I love it. And it was. It was really cool. It was really moving as all these people from all these different churches were singing. They were singing a song that we've sung here in the church many, many times. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to thee, save that thou art. And they were singing this, and all these different individual pictures were coming together in different groups of people, and then as one big group. And then at the end, it concluded with St. Patrick's blessing. The famous St. Patrick's of St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's blessing. And if that wasn't enough, and I was weeping, if that wasn't enough, well, there was another choice on YouTube, and it was the UK sings the blessing. And this is the blessing from Numbers 23, I believe. I'm not sure. But as all these voices across the UK were joining in, calling our attention to the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up the beauty of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And it ended with, he is for you, not against you. He is for you, not against you. And this is for you and your children and their children and their children and their children. And they kept on hammering this away. Do you think God is for you or against you? And what does that thought do for you? And the way you look at life. Father, thank you so much that you're for us, not against us. Thank you, Lord, that for thousands of years, your people have sung these words and spoken these words, probably at the conclusion of most worship services. And so we conclude this way today, asking you to reorganize, help us on a day-to-day basis, reorganize our thoughts. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up the beauty of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.